N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.
Welcome back to the N10 show. On this week's show, a love story that blossomed against all odds.
Suddenly, a tall, slim man in navy uniform stood in front of Kaiser. He had the darkest eyes she'd ever seen. He reached out his hand. "How do you do?" "Ouch," Kaiser said and pulled her hand away quickly. He'd given her an electric shock. He smiled and his eyes sparkled. "Sorry," he said, but kept staring at Kaiser. She tried to look down at the floor or at her friend Tuuli, who seemed unconcerned by this sudden invasion of foreign uniformed men around him.
And Charlotte's link this week is at Fringe.
The crafting industry is a growing market and is still very, very popular and getting more so. So I think it's about choosing the business that's appropriate to not only the area, but also the times that we live in.
You're listening to the N10 show with me, LJ. We start with The Englishman, a love story between a young Finnish girl and a British naval officer, based on a true story and started as a blog by author Helena Halme.
It started life as blog posts because people were quite curious about my past when I started blogging. And so I thought I'd tell them a little bit about myself and how I came here and, you know, how complicated it all was, because it was rather complicated. There were lots of things in our way.
So your blog wasn't about this to begin with. What was your
blog
about?
No, my blog was really about London life, because we moved to London 2 years ago from the country. As a foreigner, as somebody who moved from the country. So that was really the focus of the blog. And then because this became such a popular post, set of posts, I think I was the 50 post in the end.
Okay, so tell us about the book then. So is it entirely truthful or is it based
no,
on truth?
No, it is actually, being a novelist, and once you start to tell a story, you can't help yourself but make it, or the people you tell the story about become themselves rather than you or your husband. And so the story just became, it wasn't embellished exactly, but sometimes in a book the characters and the histories and the events have to be slightly simplified and slightly, you know, made into a story rather than the actual fact. So some things are true and some aren't. It takes about 4 years in the people's in these two people's lives, and there's a lot of play of the time, because it's set in the during the Cold War. Finland was a country quite friendly with the Soviet Union. I mean, they will lynch me if I say that we had anything more than friendliness, but obviously we were in front of the West, and so therefore it was quite difficult for a naval officer from Britain to have a relationship with a Finnish girl. You know, the time was such that not an awful lot of intercultural relationships were happening around the world, particularly between our countries, so it was very difficult.
So it's a sort of against all odds kind of love story.
It's a will they, won't they love story set in Helsinki and London.
So the protagonist is...
is Kaisa, who is a student of political science, and she's quite feisty and quite politically motivated. So she's in herself quite surprised that she's fallen head over heels, which is such a naive emotion. Suddenly, a tall, slim man in navy uniform stood in front of Kaisa. He had the darkest eyes she'd ever seen. He reached out his hand. "How do you do?" "Ouch," Kaiser said and pulled her hand away quickly. He'd given her an electric shock. He smiled and his eyes sparkled. "Sorry," he said, but kept staring at Kaiser. She tried to look down at the floor or at her friend Tuuli, who seemed unconcerned by this sudden invasion of foreign uniformed men around him. "What's your name?" "Kaiser Niemi." He cocked his ear. "Sorry?" It took the Englishman a long time to learn to pronounce Kaiser's Finnish name. She laughed at his failed attempts to make it sound at all authentic, but he didn't give up. Eventually, when happy with his pronunciation, he introduced himself to Kaiser and Tuuli, Peter Williams. He then tapped the shoulders of two of his shipmates. One was as tall as him, but with fair hair, the other as much shorter, older man. Awkwardly, they all shook hands, while the dark Englishman continued to stare at Kaiser. She didn't know what to say or where to put her eyes. She smoothed down her dress. The Englishman took a swig out of a large glass of beer. Suddenly he noticed Kaiser's empty hands. "Can I get you a drink? What will you have?" "Sherry." She hated the taste of it, but couldn't think of what else to ask for. His dark eyes peered at Kaiser intensely. "Stay here, promise? I'm going to leave this old man in charge. I'm not letting you leave." The shorter guy gave an embarrassed laugh, and the Englishman disappeared into the now crowded room.
And so why were you there?
I was there because I was working at a bank, and one of the ladies in the bank, this was the summer, her husband was a Finnish naval officer, and he was organising this first visit of the British Navy to Finland since the Second World War. And there were supposed to be 3 frigates, but because of the naval cutbacks, they only sent 1. And so they were desperate to find ladies who could speak English to go to the embassy and you know, keep the officers company. And there was another lady in the bank who worked there full-time, whose fiancé had just left her, so she was, you know, miserable, and they all said, "You must take her and find her an Englishman."
And did you?
No, unfortunately.
Didn't quite work out that way.
No, it didn't, no. I still feel quite bad about that. Because it was, yes.
So it took you by surprise? You were
completely. I was engaged to be married. Kaiser dreaded going back to her flat. She wondered briefly if she should get the taxi driver to take her to her friend's place in Turlo instead. It was nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. She couldn't wake her up now. But she wanted to hold on to the image of the Englishman, preserve the feel of his kisses, not to lose the smell of him. Yet she knew she had to come clean to her fiancé at some point. When Kaiser opened the door, she sighed with relief. There were no lights on. The flat was empty. She put the chain across the door and leant back against it. She had another night to dream about the Englishman before having to confront her boyfriend. Kaiser jumped when she heard Matti call her name. He was sitting in the dark on her bed, wearing a pair of brown cords and an Icelandic sweater that Kaiser had knitted last Christmas. Kaiser hung back in the doorway, not knowing what to say or to do. Matti stood up and grabbed her arm. "Where have you been?" His brown hair was neatly combed to one side, and his eyes looked darker than usual. He wasn't smiling.
Oh dear.
Trouble at meal. The first letter arrived 10 days after Kaiser had said goodbye to the Englishman and 12 days after she'd met him at the embassy cocktail party. When she found the blue airmail envelope on the doormat, she nearly screamed. For a moment, Kaiser held it in her hand before opening it. It was thick and silky, and she recognised the handwriting immediately. She ripped the blue envelope open. The first sentences took her breath away.
Does it still make you feel emotional?
Yes, I know. It's really stupid.
How many years has it been?
27.
Oh, my God.
No, probably 30, actually. Yeah. It rained when we sailed from Helsinki and the weather seemed to echo my mood. I'm sure I've never felt this way about anyone before. I miss you so much. The Englishman was a poet. Kaiser read the pages over and over. Then carefully she folded 3 full sheets of writing back into the envelope and held it against her chest. She thought about the grey weekend after the wonderful night with the Englishman in Helsinki. About the awful hours that followed, which she'd spent awake next to her fiancé listening to his steady breathing, too afraid to sleep. The days and weeks that followed had been equally hard. Kaiser read the letter over and over. The words became engraved on her mind. That is actually, those words were from his letter, so poor man.
Was he okay? He's raping and pillaging.
I know. Well, he's married to a writer, you know.
So, yeah, is that in the clause?
In it the is way in that, the yeah, clause, yes.
In the small print. Yeah.
He knows that we are, you know, we are...
Up for grabs.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Okay, so just lastly, tell us about where we can find this book. And
the book is on Amazon and is also on Smashwords, which means that it can be found on any e-book reader, really, including iBooks.
That was Helena Halme, and if you log on to ntenshow.com, you'll find a link to her book, The Englishman.
Travelwise on 40 Screen Road has just launched their new website.
My name is Kim Hart and I am the director of Travelwise on 40 Screen Road, Muswell Hill. I have been the director for 5 years and I've worked here for 19 years. We offer a worldwide service. We specialise very much in tailor-made holidays. We tend to put together things that people can't do on the internet. A lot of people come in and they say, I've been driving myself nuts on the internet trying to find something. And you say, well, why didn't you just come in here? Plus, we kind of know exactly what it is that you're after. So, for example, we have anything from a group of 40 people wanting to take over an entire Indian Ocean island with private yachts, etc., all the way down to family holidays at Club Med and also city breaks, like anything at all. I think it's really important to have a website presence these days because you've got to kind of keep ahead of the game. You've got to kind of be a fixture out there on the internet. So people need to be able to have a look at your website to give an idea or an impression as to what your company is all about. And I think that our new website very much puts that across.
If you'd like a website like travelwiseuk.com, contact Muswell Hill Media for a quote on 020 8815 9965 or email info@muswellhillmedia.co.uk.
And now to our regular spot, Charlotte's Link. This week, Charlotte's been finding out about Fringe, the craft studio down on Alexandra Park Road. Judith Isherwood, founder of the centre, talks to Charlotte Murray.
Hi Judith, how long have you been in business?
We opened a year ago, almost in October 2011, and coming up to our first anniversary in the autumn, and I've lived in the area for about 30 years.
Just for people to know about, what does your business do?
We're the retail area is a craft orientated, relating to knitting and stitching and sewing crafts space. And the rear space is to do crafting courses and exhibitions that relate to the retail space. Most of the retail space is, the emphasis is on supporting local craft people and the products that they make and selling their produce, as well as selling items that people can do their own crafting with. Up until now, I've been an architect and working on buildings, and this is kind of the opposite of that, and it's been a hobby all the way through. So when we had the opportunity to refurbish this building, I decided I'd do something with it myself and was originally going to do just a gallery space for crafters and met with the Crafts Council and sought their advice. And out of that, and visiting various craft shows, developed the idea of doing the three-way space so that we can help people who want to craft themselves but also display products from people who make handmade products.
Is the local community something that's important to you?
I have no intention of going anywhere else. Somebody said to me, if you succeed, would you expand? And I said, well, not at the moment, no. I just want to be a local, unique shop. I think that that's the survival of the retail high street. A few years ago, everybody wanted to have the same shops that you had in all the big cities everywhere else. And now that's the case. Wherever you go in the world, you get the same shops, the big chains of shops. And there's no reason to visit any of these other places. And I think the survival of the high street will be on unique individual.
So do you have any events coming up?
We have a different exhibition every month. And we've got a photography exhibition in September. And then in October, we've got a lady called Emma Cowlam who does stitched sketches, which have to be seen to be believed. She's exhibited at the V&A and she sells at Liberty's.
And people just turn up?
You can just turn up. We're not open Mondays and Sundays, but the rest of the week we're open, so you can just turn up. And then in December, obviously, we have Christmas orientated. We're doing wreath making and Christmas market and so on.
Fantastic. And with that, is there a charge for that?
For the courses, there's a charge. For the exhibitions, you just turn up, and if you want to buy a piece, then you can buy a piece, but otherwise it's just free to view.
And do you have any thoughts about this austere time that everyone's banging on about? Because I personally, running a business myself, I have no time for those words.
The crafting industry is a growing market and is still very, very popular and getting more so. So I think it's about choosing the business that's appropriate to not only the area but also the times that we live in.
That was Judith Isherwood from Fringe. And that's all we have for this week. My thanks to Helena and Judith. All the details from this week's interviews are online at n10show.com. And if you'd like to take part or have any comments, you can post on the website or you can follow us on Twitter at MuswellHM. Till next week, goodbye.
N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.